Did you bring a Bible? If you didn't, there's one in front of you there in the pew. They're all the same edition, all the same Bible. We use one Bible here, the old one. Okay? The old one. We trust it. It is the Word of God. And we believe what it says, we live by what it says, and we trust what it says. Even if the world disagrees, we trust what our Bibles say. So I want you to look there on the screen, and I'll explain what that is in just a minute and how it relates to family. How it relates to family. Back in Genesis chapter 2, if you wanted to turn there very quickly, because we'll be in Genesis in a few places here in a few minutes. But this is God instituting the family. And really, then, we understand from Ephesians that it is a picture, then, of Christ and the church. But in Genesis chapter 2, verse 18, the Lord God said, "It is not good that the man should be alone. I will make and help meet for him." That means sufficient for him. The other part of him. The missing part. The missing piece. That's my wife to me. She is what I am not and what I probably would never be. That's what she is to me, and that's what she is to our family. So in verse 21, the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. He took one of his ribs, closed up the flesh instead thereof. Now I want you to think about this now as it applies to what I'm going to preach on this morning. God picked your family. Because look at what this is saying. God is the one who caused the deep sleep to fall upon Adam. God is the one who took the rib. God is the one who then formed the woman out of that rib. And God is the one who brought her to the man. God picked Adam's wife. God did that. So Adam said, verse 23, "This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She should be called woman because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother." So you leave one family. That's where you came from to start a new family. God is the one who separates us out from where we were. And I want you to think along those lines too. Think of where you used to be as opposed to where you are now. And hopefully, where you are now is far better than where you used to be and what you used to be. Adam said, "This is now bone of my bones, flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. And they were both naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed." And let me just throw this in. Listen to me now. There's always, you're going to apply this two ways. You're going to apply this to your home family, and you're going to apply this to your church. I believe this symbolism of they were both naked and they were not ashamed. I believe the symbolism of that is this. They were honest between one another. They weren't hiding anything between them. A family and a marriage has to be built upon trust. Trust can only come from openness. Now, you'll never ever hear me tell you, you must stand up in front of the church and tell them every rotten, filthy, nasty thing you've done. Number one, we don't have enough hours in the day. Number two, the Bible does not require that. Number three, that must mean then I must follow you, and I'm not looking, I don't want to do that one either. But what we say to one another is this: I'm a rotten, filthy, low-down, hell-deserving sinner. I have my weaknesses. My wife is aware of those. She has her weaknesses. I'm aware of those. I don't exploit hers. She doesn't exploit mine. But she helps me, and I help her. And what I know about her, I am not ashamed of my wife. Church, did you hear that? I know some of you people better than I do others. I know, or I can sort of pick up on things that you are. In some cases, you've told me about your past, things that you've done. In some cases, people have told me things that they have done recently. And I want everybody to know, from my wife to my daughters, to my family members, in-laws, and then to my church people here, I'm not ashamed of you. I don't want you to be ashamed of me either. That's Adam and Eve. They had a bond between them to where they both loved one another and were never ashamed of each other. That's family. Can I hear you say amen? That's not the sermon though. Ephesians 5, for this cause shall a man leave his father and his mother, verse 31, shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. So it applies both ways. All right, now, back to the... In fact, let's go to the Lord in prayer, and we'll ask, just simply ask God's blessing. Father, I'm asking your blessings on this message, and for these people's benefit, I pray, dear God, that you bless them. Bless families today. Bless husbands and wives today who need this. We need to understand, she didn't marry a perfect man, he didn't marry a perfect wife, but you brought them together. You did that. And Father, we are thankful now for the people that you have put into our lives to be a blessing. So we ask your blessings on this message, Father. Open our eyes to some things, teach us some good things, we pray in Jesus' name. And all of God's people said, amen. This is called Pangaea. Pan means sort of across. Gaea is the word for the Greek word for the world. And if you've ever noticed that South America fit into Africa and North America fit then into Europe, if you've ever noticed that, I don't think it's a mistake. I don't think it's just an accident. And I'm going to show you that from the Scriptures. You know, at one point, the Bible tells us that the world, the earth, looked something. Now, there was no cameras back in Adam's day. Or Noah's. But some geologists agree that at one point in the past, that there was one great big gigantic landmass and it split apart for some reason. Well, that's in your Bible. So I want you to turn to Genesis chapter 10. Sweetie pie, could you cool the room down a little bit? Is anybody stuffy or is it just me? We got some stuffy people here. All right. Genesis chapter 10. Let me show you what God did. In fact, just a quick survey of Genesis 10. Genesis 10 gives you the history of where everybody came from. If you notice, in the world, there are three primary races of humans. Mongoloid, Negroid, Caucasoid. The three primary races. It's interesting to me that Noah had three sons. Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Shem, Ham, and Japheth. And I believe that out of those three came the three primary races of men. Michael, my son-in-law, is from Kenya. I asked him, where do you trace your heritage? He said it goes back to Egypt and then eventually to Ham. He is a Hamite in his generations and very possibly could be a pure Hamite with no mixture. There's mixtures of races all over the world. And you guys, if you want to know my opinion, God loves them all. Doesn't matter how mixed up they get. God loves them. In fact, He loves the mixed up ones better than I think He does the other ones. Just my opinion, but I think He does. So anyway, you have the three. And if you survey Genesis 10, you see that it says, verse 1, these are the generations of the sons of Noah, Shem, Ham, and Japheth, and unto them were sons born after the flood. So Noah and his family comes off the ark. By the way, God saved Noah's family. He saves families, amen. God saves families. God is in the family-making business, somebody say amen. So God made these families. And the Bible really sort of tells us that Shem, Ham, and Japheth were all born in the same year. The Bible says in the 500th year of Noah's life, he had three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. So apparently they probably were triplets. And they all come out looking different, okay? Noah's going, okay, I'll take them, I'll love them, but they look different. So anyway, out of these three sons, you have in verse 2 the sons of Japheth, Gomer, Magog, Madai, Javan, Tubal, Meshach, Tirath, and then move on down. Then you verse 6, and the sons of Ham, Cush, and Mizraim, and Phut, and Kedem. Mizraim is Egypt. Mizraim is Egypt, all right? So you have Mizraim, and the Egyptians, and so on, Phut, and Canaan, and the sons of Cush, Seba, Havilah, Seba. You have all these, you know, Cush begat Nimrod, Nimrod the king. More than likely he was black. I can't say that for sure. The Bible doesn't say it, so it's no big deal. That's just what I think because of where he came from. And then in verse 21 of Genesis 10, unto Shem also the father of all the children of Eber. Eber is where we get the word Hebrew. Eber was the father of the Hebrews. It was one of the fathers of Abraham. The brother of Japheth, the elder even to him, were children born, the children of Shem. If you've heard of the word Semite or anti-Semite, it comes from the word Shem. Shem and Eber were the fathers of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. So that's where they came from, alright? So then in verse 32, these are the families of the sons of Noah after their generations in their nations, and by these were the nations. Watch this. They were divided in the earth after the flood. God took all the families and they all divided up into separate groups. Why did they do that? I'll explain in a minute. Now look at Genesis 11, verse 6. And the Lord said, behold, the people is one and they have all one language. So everybody at this point in Genesis 11 was all together living in this one area. They were all compacted together, and God didn't like what they were doing, so He said, I'm going to confound their language. So He said in verse 7, go to, let us go down, and there confound their language, that they may not understand one another's speech. Verse 8, so the Lord scattered them abroad from thence upon the face of all the earth, and they left off to build the city. Therefore the name of it is called Babel, because the Lord did there confound the language of all the earth, and from thence did the Lord scatter them abroad upon the face of all the earth. Who believes this so far? Who's with me? This is what God said. I trust God's version of history better than anybody else's. It makes better sense. Now, watch this. Then back in... So, number one, we have God dividing everybody up by families. And the word race is part of that. Then, we have God dividing everybody up by language. If you've ever traveled to a foreign country, and you're hearing everybody talk, and you're going, I have no idea what they're saying, and it makes you feel vulnerable, right? And then you hear someone speaking the English, and you automatically go to them and say, where are you from? Well, we're from St. Louis. Okay? You gravitate to them. And understand this, when they're all speaking different languages, they didn't have a choice. They did not have a choice but to go find the people who were speaking what they could understand. And so now they're all this family over here. God gave the Hamites a certain language. God gave the Shemites a certain language. God gave Japhethites certain languages. And they all divided up by what they were speaking. They were all speaking the same thing. Then, Genesis 10, verse 25. And unto Eber were born two sons. The name of one was Peleg. For in his days was the earth divided. And his brother's name was Joktan. So here's the story that we have. We have everybody all together in one place. And they're up to no good. So God divides them by family, genetic, race, DNA, family lines. He divided them up. 72 families in Genesis 10 that He divided everybody up into. Then, in Genesis 11, He divides everybody further by their language. Then, back in Genesis 10, Peleg was born, and He's given that name because when he was born, all of a sudden, God split apart the landmass. Sounds crazy. But I look at a map and it just makes sense to me that South America fits in perfect with Africa, and I don't think it's an accident. Now, I'm not going to get into all the geology of it, but I believe the Scripture. And here's the point I'm making. God has turned to 2 Corinthians chapter 6. God every now and then we have to separate. You know, I love my mom and dad. But I got to that age where I had to separate. It was in me. I couldn't explain it. How many of you know what I'm talking about? You got to an age where you had to get away from mom and dad. Because for a period of years, my mom and dad went completely stupid and they knew nothing. And then when I got older, all of a sudden God gave them their smarts back, and then they knew everything. And that goes with my father and mother-in-law as well. So, every now and then, God divides people up. You ever notice there's different denominations? And in some cases, it could be the difference of one doctrine that divides them. But see, there's wisdom in that. Listen now. There's wisdom in that. God made us all the same, but He didn't make us all the same. And so God, watch this now, gave us the gift of having people in our life that are just like us, or are just exactly what we needed. That's the message. I could stop right here. But that makes sense, doesn't it? God, when I was in Bible college, I had a girlfriend. And I had the future all mapped out. But God said, she's not the one. And all of a sudden, God took her out of my life. Now, you want to hear something funny? You hear something funny? I didn't know her that well, apparently. Because right this minute, she is an assistant pastor of a church. And I'm going, that would have never happened if I'd have been her husband. I tell you that right now. Because my wife's not the pastor here. So anyway, my wife had a boyfriend before me. And God divided them, separated them out. And then it was my sister that called me and said, you remember Lisa Leonard? Yeah. Well, she wants to go out with you. <gasps> 32 years. God put us together. And then God gave us little children. God made our family, did He not? God made my daughters. God made my sons. God gave them to us. And they are our blessing. They are our family. And we are not ashamed of one another. And you young people, listen, young people. Don't ever be ashamed of your family. Now, having said that, let me say this. God may separate you out from your earthly family to give you a better family. That then is what a church is supposed to be for. A better family. Amen. Better than what we had in other places. You might say, my dad was a drunk, or my mom was a slut, or they did drugs, or dad was beat us all the time, and my brothers and sisters, they're all out living in sin, and I don't want any part of that. And I want out. I want a better family. And God brought you and gave you a better family than the one you had. See, God is the one who puts families together. Amen. So you don't be ashamed of them, and you always be truthful with them. Always. Because relationships are built upon trust. And if you can't trust somebody, you shouldn't be around them to begin with. Now, 2 Corinthians 6 is actually a funny sort of message in 2 Corinthians 6. I never saw it before until last night. Till last night I saw it. Never saw it before till last night. And this is part of God build your family. God brought you two together. Or God gave you the kids that you have. Or you now are part of a church. Brian and Pam are going to join with their family, because they feel, and he's told me this, thanks to Bethel for loving our family. And we say to them, thanks for loving Bethel. So 2 Corinthians 6:14, look at what it says. Be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. Now I'm going to flip that around. There's another way of saying this. Be ye yoked together with believers. So this is why you're here. Not because of me on YouTube. Not because I make videos. You're not here for that. You're here because we all love this Bible and we believe it. And God has yoked us together with believers. Amen. So, if you're yoked with believers, don't yoke with unbelievers. Because wherever they go, you'll go. How many of you know that? How many of you had the experience where you hooked in with somebody and they led you down the worst path in the world? My old buddy in my neighborhood, John. Remember him, Melissa? John. I'm not going to give a last name, John. I hooked in with him for a while. We delivered the papers in our neighborhood together. And we were buddies. But John's dad had a stack of Playboys this high and they grew marijuana in the basement. And eventually my mom said, "You're not going down there no more. You need to stay away from that." She was right. Especially the night she caught him with a beer can in his hand. That was the end of that right there. So, be not unequally yoked together, but be ye equally yoked together with believers. And then look what he says, "For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness?" It doesn't. But God gives us fellowship, righteous people with righteous people. Amen? And what that means is, we all hate sin the same way. Because we've all been guilty of it, and we know what it does. We know what drugs do, we know what alcohol does, we know what pornography does, we know what cursing does, we know what lying does, we know what cheating does, we know what filthy lucre does, we know all these things because we've experienced it firsthand, and we don't want to be a part of that anymore. We want to be around some people that will lead us to righteousness. Somebody say amen. Fellowship. You know what that means? Two fellows in the same ship. It means wherever the boat's going, we're all going there. And then he said, "What communion hath light with darkness?" It doesn't. But then in a family or in a church, God gives communion of people who are children of the day with people who are children of the day. And the word communion, com means with, union means one. We're all just one family. And when one of us has a problem, we don't turn our backs. When one of us has cancer, we all wish we could take it. Don't we? When one of us gets caught up in sin, that's cancer, a different kind. It's a disease. We all are supposed to go to that person and say, "I love you and I want to help bring you back to the family." Say amen to that. That's communion. That's light communing with light. We bring everything out to light and we share with one another what our burdens are, what our problems are. And then he says, verse 15, "What concord hath Christ with Belial?" A concord is a contract. So, we don't have a contract with the devil. You didn't sign his book in your blood, amen? That's an old witchcraft fable from years gone by. If you were guilty of witchery, you signed the devil's book with your own blood. You didn't do that. but we are all under contract with the Lord Jesus Christ. It's called the New Testament. We are all saved by the exact same grace. Amen. And then verse 16, and what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? It doesn't. That's why you don't see statues around here. We don't pray to statues. We don't believe in them. Don't have them. Not going to have them. But he also said, watch this now, covetousness is idolatry. And we don't have agreement with it. We are not in agreement with that idolatry. We're not going to go along with that. But there should be a certain amount of agreement in our group. Can two walk together except they be agreed? And it takes working it out. It takes maybe a little give. One gives, another gives, one takes, another takes. It takes a little working out until we finally come to agreement. And if I were to say, do we all agree on everything about Bible prophecy? No, but do we all agree that this is the Word of God? We are in agreement. Now, verse 16 again, and what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. This is the family of God. Wherefore, now, verse 17, here it is, listen to it. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate. There was a lady here years ago. She used to come to church with her little daughter. Her husband never came. And her mother-in-law despised this church. She was of a different, I'm not going to say what it was, but she really wasn't really much of anything as far as religion is concerned, but she hated. And she put her foot down through her son. You know, Jezebel always works behind the scenes, right? So her husband finally said, it's either that church or me. So she left the church. Now, God forbid that would ever happen, and I'm not the judge over this woman's life and how she ended up. But I think if we're going to be a church family the way God calls us to be, we might have to separate from the things of this world. Now, I'm going to let God preach that to you however God wants to do it. I can't do it for you. But God calls us out of where we were to where we are now. God makes the family. And God brought us here together. So we're all going to decide that we're going to love one another. And we're going to pray for one another. And we're going to share one another's burdens. And we're going to abide one another's failures. Because all of us are going to do it. All of us. And that's what family does. Real family. Now, if you come from a broken family, and this is all new to you, I'm here to tell you that God will give you a family like you've never had before in your life. So he said, verse 18, I will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. That's a family. Amen? So we have God the Father, and we are the children. There's something missing. Who's the mother? It's not the church, and it's not Mary. It's Jerusalem above, which is free, is the mother of us all. We were truly born from heaven. Somebody say amen. That's what makes us, God made us this family. And I am proud to be part of this family. Not ashamed. I know each one of you. You all know me. And I'm not ashamed of any of you. Because I know what God has brought you out of. Let's go out. Families grow. Don't they, Jennifer? I mean, how many more children do you need? God will give them all to you. Amen. And maybe if they're all boys, so what? 15 boys out of the same family. That'd be an awesome football team, Ed. Amen, JJ. No? Well, we'll pray for a girl. But God puts families together. God builds families. And God calls us out to be part of a better family. Let's strive to be that better family. And let's strive to go out and find others that God may call out.